Well, this is a special couple. Years ago, when the Lord spoke to me in the tractor to start a church in Brooks, of course, you need people to start a church. And this is one of the couples I asked the Lord for. And they agreed to come, so that was good. And we've been friends ever since. They've all so got four girls, and they're up for offspring, and I don't know what the rest of them are, how many grandkids or anything, but I know they had four girls. And they worked at a church in Claire's home. They started and worked there for a while, and then they turned it over to someone else and went to Red Deer, where they worked at a church and grew it. It's a very good church. And a little while ago, he said he felt of the Lord that he was supposed to turn it over to someone else. So we paired another couple to take it over. And we were at their last service there, and it was very touching how the people got up and responded to them. And it was very wonderful to see the things they've accomplished in life. And we're glad to have them here, and the Lord is still leading and guiding them, and I've had a lot of good times with them. And they're hard workers, they both were. Joyce is worship leader for years and years, faithful. Remember, she had a kid every once in a while and had to figure out what to do. And Chuck was so faithful, had a men's. He told me a while ago, he said, one of the best weeks of his life, he said, is when I was there with you guys. He said, one week he led five people to the Lord. That's a pretty good goal, I think. So we're very happy to have them here this morning to bring us the word. Father, we thank you for the stand. I want to pray for you both. Father, I want to thank you for Chuck and Joyce. They've been a special blessing to us. Faithful people, Lord, that you have called and chosen to go forth for you. And Father, even the future ahead of them, we ask for your blessing, your guidance. And Lord, yes, may they be able to accomplish exactly what you want them to do. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Give them a hand. There goes, she don't want this.
Thank you, Pastor Bill, for those kind words. You know, it's likewise, I was thinking of you a little while ago. Well, yeah, way off once I thought about Pastor Bill recently. No, that's not what I mean. But how much of an impact you've had in our lives. And you've opened the door for ministry for us in both Claire's home and Red Deer. And I just really want to thank you and Audrey publicly for the influence that you've had. I'd also like to thank Pastor Aaron for giving me this incredible opportunity to speak to you. I mean, it's a real honor to be up here. It's been 25 years since Joyce and I moved, 25 years and a month or something like that, but God has really been good. Joyce and I are moving back here. We're going to be moving on May the 20th. And we have a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so the first 20 of you can help. That's not true. Yeah, it's awful when you have to explain that you're telling a joke, right? But you know, I want to talk to you about focus this morning. And about 7 years ago, I took a 3.5-month sabbatical. And during that time, I found out something new about God. It's not some new theology. It's not a how-to thing per se, you know. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to live happily ever after or things like that. But I've discovered what a deeper relationship with God could really be. I like what you said this morning, Susie. Maybe you should just get up here and say that again and we could all go home. And no. But what I discovered changed my life, and it increased my faith and trust in God. And my first point is my focus shifted to the kingdom of God. Do you realize that Jesus talked more about the kingdom of God than he talked about anything else? I'd never saw that in Scripture before, but a lot of what Jesus said, mainly what Jesus was talking about, was the kingdom of God. And the first verse that got my real attention and started me on this path was a verse I think most of us know. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, or this translation puts everlasting life. And I was reading it one day, and I was wondering what everlasting life really is. You know, quite often it's so easy to just think everlasting life starts when we die. But everlasting life, eternal life, doesn't start when we die. It starts when we give our heart to Christ. And you know what the word eternal has the connotation of? It has a connotation of the quality of life. So it's not just we're going to live forever and then someday we're going to be in the kingdom of God, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to live happily ever after and float on cream cheese clouds like that old commercial was. I mean, to be honest, that sounds more like hell than it does heaven to me. But it's so interesting about the relationship with God that we can have. And when I started to see things through the eyes of the kingdom of God and through life in this world, through the kingdom of God and what Jesus was saying, it just kind of opened up my eyes to some things that I'd never noticed before. And I want to warn you this morning, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and I might even use heaven's kingdom realm. For what I'm saying to you this morning, they all mean the same thing. I won't get into that. I don't have time to do that. But I want you to see that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God or heaven's kingdom realm, he was talking about now for us, right? Like if you look in Matthew 13, it says the kingdom, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. In verse 33 of the same chapter, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. In verse 44, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried, hidden in a field. In verse 45, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Was Jesus talking about life after death? Well, maybe, to some degree. But mostly, I think Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven and telling us what life should be like as Christians. He wasn't giving us more rules that we need to live by. How many of you have tried to just change through willpower? And how many of you have been successful in the long term with that? My hand sure would not go up. But you see, when you start to embrace God or Jesus through the eyes of the kingdom of heaven and you start to focus on this, more than you focus on the circumstances of life, it changes you from the inside out. Dallas Willard wrote a book a long time ago called The Divine Conspiracy, and basically what he was talking about is how God changes us from the inside out. And you know what I've discovered in life? Life... Now, you have to hear my heart in this. You can misunderstand. But life, we need to understand that when we're following God and we entertain sin in our life, do you realize what you're giving up? It's not me shaking my finger at you this morning and telling you, smarten up. I mean, you need to. We all need to, right? But when your focus is on the kingdom of heaven, he changes you from the inside out. All of a sudden, you start to see things differently. You start to understand things differently. You start to see the relationship that each one of us can have with our Heavenly Father, and that changes everything. And what I need to remember, and what I do remember, is when I do mess up, I realize that if I continue in that direction, what I'm going to be sacrificing. I'm going to be sacrificing the intimacy that I can have with God. Not because God has pulled away and God doesn't want to have anything to do with me, but mostly because I have withdrawn myself from a place where he can bless me. So it's important that we understand that we make God, the kingdom of God, our focus. You know, when Jesus sent out the 70 before him, he gave them these instructions. In Luke 10, verse 9, it says, "And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." And I really like the way the Passion Translation of the Bible puts this verse. He said, "Then heal the sick and tell them, God's kingdom realm has arrived and is now within your reach." You see, the realm of God's kingdom, our relationship with God, is within our reach, within each one of our reach. And when we start to focus on him, then we start to, then it changes who we are, like Susie was saying. You know, we still call you Susie. I knew her. I was real good friends with her older brother. So, but when we see things differently, it changes us on the inside, and we start to see the relationship that we can have with God. We start to see how his Holy Spirit comforts us in times of trouble. We start to see things through a different set of glasses, if I can use that. Let me show you something from Scripture. You know, so much in Scripture is describing life in God's kingdom realm, and in the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus started off with was what we call the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5:3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It says a bunch of other blessings. And then jump down to verse 10, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he lists a whole bunch of different things here. Blessed are we. But do you know, it isn't talking so much about if you're poor in spirit, then God's kingdom is available to you. It's not talking about so much that you need to be persecuted and then you will experience the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But really what he's saying, what I think he's saying anyways, what I believe he's saying is, even if you are this way, I want you to know, if you're here this way this morning, I want you to know that there is, the kingdom of God is available to you. You may be downcast, you may be struggling, things may not be going right in your life this morning, but guess what? God's kingdom realm is available to you today. For all of us who are Christians, this just really opens your eyes. When I started to see these things, it just opened my eyes to what God has for us. And then Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount. He goes on and he talks about some things like divorce, or going the second mile. If somebody asks you to do something, take it a step farther. You know, he says to do those sorts of things, but guess what? He's not giving us a list of rules, although we need to pay attention. But what he's telling us, this is what life is like in my kingdom realm. The love that couples can have for each other. Joyce is just head over heels in love with me. But don't talk to her after the service, please. But she should be, right? Will you? Anyways, let's move on. You know what helps to live in the reality of heaven's kingdom realm? This is really simple. Focus on God. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the most about? Is your life consumed with your job or with your family or relationships or a million other things that are important? I'm not saying that they're not important, but what is your main focus in life? Is your main focus God? And you can tell by how often you think about him. If you have to do something that seems silly, set your timer on your phone to go off two or three times a day, and then just take a minute or two when your watch goes off, just take or your phone goes off, just take a minute or two and think about the greatness of God. And what that will do, the goal is to help you change from being so focused on the circumstances around you to being focused on him and his kingdom. Jeremiah, God spoke through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. My people have forgotten me days without number. So the children of Israel forgot about God for days without number, and it took them to a place of idol worship, and it took them to a place where God couldn't make them his special nation that he wanted to anymore. So it's really important for us to think about God quite a bit. You know, I absolutely love the space I'm in right now. Joyce and I spend an hour or two every morning, well, most mornings, in devotions. Just reading by ourselves, reading and studying, not studying so much, but I learned how to do this when I was working at the church years ago, and I didn't understand what I was doing then, but when we would go camping, we'd always camp by a lake. And so early in the morning, about the crack of 10 o'clock in the morning, before the family was up, I would take a lawn chair and go out by the lake with my Bible. And I was just, even though I didn't really understand what was happening, I was just amazed at stuff that I found in Scripture, and I believe it was God speaking to my spirit, to my heart, and showing me some different things about who he was. It's absolutely amazing, and we need to think about him. My second point is life, what life is like in the kingdom of God. I don't have time to tell you this morning, but read through the first three chapters of Ephesians and see what Paul prays for us. That we would understand that the same strength, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. You may think, well, why am I where I'm at? But when you start to see these things and you start to believe that the same spirit that lives in you, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. When you start to see the things like that, when you start to think in Ephesians where the Apostle Paul wrote and he said to experience or to, I forget the exact words, but to experience sounds good and makes my point at the moment. It basically is talking about to experience love that's beyond our understanding. When Peter said, we've been given everything we need, have been given everything we need for life and godliness. This is not something that we're trying to attain. This is what's, when you become Christians, this is what Jesus has put inside of you. Each one of us. Start to see yourself differently. Start to think about God and then see your relationship with Him go. Anyways, that's all for free, so. Life in the kingdom of God. You see, when we focus about God, and we think about Him many times during the day, we understand that while we live in this world, our focus and attention is differently. You see, when Jesus was praying for His disciples, He said in John 17, He said, Jesus was praying for His disciples, He said, they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So, when we're Christians, we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'll talk a little more about that later. Excuse me. At least it isn't illegal to cough like it was a couple years ago. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Are the circumstances of this life important? Absolutely. Your job, what you do for a living, I think I said this before, these things are critical, and we need to pay attention to them. I don't think that you're going to survive just by laying on the couch and watching TV and thinking wonderful thoughts about God or trying to. We live in this world, and Jesus, or the scripture says that we're created for good works. So what we do in this world is absolutely important. But when you see the life the way I'm talking about it, it changes your point of view on things. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Ephesians 2:4-6, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that. That's where we're at spiritually. Are our circumstances important? Yes. Do we need to pray? Absolutely. Do we need to cry out for God and get serious about prayer? Absolutely. But when you start to see what's really important is life in the kingdom of God, if we make an effort to live there spiritually, it changes everything. You want to know a secret that I found? I've been on this journey for 7 years, so don't think that you're going to go home and everything's going to change. I can't just preach you some truth that's instantly going to change you, but if I can just get you to see things a little bit differently, if I can get you to see what lies out in front of you, it changes things. You know what I found in my life? That I have more prayers answered, that I have more of a relationship with God, that I think I have more of an anointing when I start to understand who God is by focusing on Him and His kingdom realm. Am I making any sense this morning? Let me explain a little bit what I'm talking about. Remember the story of Elisha, where his servant wakes up in the morning and he sees that the city that Elisha's in is surrounded by the Syrian army, and they're the enemies. So he wakes up in the morning, and he's all in a dither, as my mother used to say. And Elijah, look at what Elijah prayed here. He said, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What happens? Elisha prayed that the servant would see things from a different perspective, that he would see things from heaven's kingdom realm. You see, when you think about things, when you think about your circumstances, are you just looking at the problems? Are you just looking at the issues? Or are you seeing things as what I like to say, life above the line, life that is focused on the kingdom of God, which I've showed you that's exactly where we are? When you start to see things that way, things seem to diminish. Let me show you something about believing. You see, to see where we're really at spiritually, to see that and to believe that, it changes everything. Look at believing. You know, in James 23, this is a verse that's quoted, as far as I can tell, 5 times in the Bible. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. This verse, this story, is a very significant verse. But have you ever wondered what it really meant? You know, Abraham believed God means that Abraham did much more than believe God existed. James goes on to say that even Satan believes in God. So it's not just to believe that God exists. It's so much more than that. It's also more than believing in the promises of God. And I've thought about that for a long time. You know, Abraham believed in the promises of God. And that's absolutely true. But it's more than that as well. There's absolutely more than that. It's Abraham believed to the point of complete trust and reliance in God. To the point of complete trust and reliance in God. Can you see that? Do you live your life having complete trust and reliance in God regardless of your circumstances? Regardless of bad reports of health, of other things, losing your job or whatever else, do you worry about that stuff? When you're in that situation, does your life just seem like it's over? Of course, that stuff's going to bother you. But in the midst of that, Do you have complete trust and reliance in God? You know what's very important for us to really believe, to really grasp a hold of, is that God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, when I lived for a brief period of time in a condo, and I wanted to try it. And so I phoned a friend from this area, actually. I phoned a friend, and I asked him what he thought. You know, would this be a smart move? And I was, you know, really trying to decide. He said, do it. You don't have to worry about it. Just do it. And we did it and found out that isn't what I want yet. But you know what? It worked out financially. It worked out in our favor anyways. Do you live your life knowing that you can completely trust and rely on God? Joyce and I, just get personal for a moment. Joyce and I knew it was time to quit in Red Deer, or resign, or whatever. It's not that the church was tired of us. It's not that we were having trouble. It's not that we were overwhelmingly stressed, although when I quit, I understood how tired I really was. But you think it's easy to go through a period of time. It's been 31 years since I've been unemployed. 31 years, and I just about lost my faith, in all honesty. Pastor Bill prayed for me at that time, and hope was restored. But I'd been unemployed for two winters, and Joyce and I were living on $1,200 a month, and we had a $650 a month mortgage, and we had four little girls. I don't want to go back to that period of time. I really don't. But we've gone into this knowing that we're being obedient to God, knowing that we've heard God, not knowing what the future holds at all. We didn't know where we were going to live. Somebody asked us, you know, where are you going to live? Where are you going to move to? And I said, I don't know. Anywhere in the world works. Or maybe that was you that asked me that, huh? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just we'll think of something. No, but then, so then you're missing the church and the people and the friendships that you've made in the church there. And you're grieving because of that. And yet, knowing in the midst of that situation, knowing that God has a plan, that God is going to look after us. It's not that I just quit and did nothing, but I really have thought all along that I'm supposed to wait on God. Just waiting on God is not a lot of fun. But you know what I found? Once again in my life, get it through my thick head, I found that God is faithful and He will take you to the next step. He will take you on this journey to the next place, and you will be okay, you will be fine. You know what I've come to the conclusion, and I know I'm going to sound really weird here, more than I have been, but you know what I decided a little while ago, a month or two ago? You know what? If I lost everything, and in this process, I found God in a deeper way than I've ever found Him before, you know what? I'm ahead in the game. It's just there for us. Well, I'm running through here a lot faster. You will get out earlier, which is a good thing. I used to have an uncle that preached, and he was always 15 minutes shorter than everybody else. And he was my favorite preacher as a young kid at the time. That was in a time where we would, as young kids, we would time the old men when they prayed, and we'd see who would set the record for length in their prayers. So you see, I didn't come from a very... Anyways, probably still too much that way, but my third point is, when you start to really focus on the kingdom of God, and you focus on life in the kingdom of God, you find that through that there's intimacy with God. The Apostle Paul talks about being married to God. In Romans 7, verse 4, he's speaking of being married to Jesus, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. You see, this is the kind of relationship that we're supposed to have with our Father. And this is not just for you guys that are here. This is not just a touchy-feely sort of a thing. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, God has given you guys challenges and exciting times. And, you know, what God has for each of you younger men and women too. But what God has for us is incredibly challenging and incredibly exciting. And the journey will take you. I'm so glad in life that I've been ignorant, naive is a better word, to what God has for me in the future, because I've got myself into situations that I probably would have never gone there if I would have known what lay ahead. Like when I moved to Claire's home and was pastoring there, Pastor Bill, for the first few months, I thought, this isn't so bad. And then I realized rather quickly that to be the pastor of a church is way more than just preaching on Sunday. You know, you get in situations, you go through things that if you had any intelligence at all, you probably wouldn't have got yourself into those situations. But at the end of the day, if your focus is on the kingdom of heaven, you will find out that you're married to God. And this includes an intimacy that you can't believe. I was watching a YouTube clip by Bill Maher a while ago, and the great theologian Bill Maher. Don't watch him. I'm not recommending that you do that. But in this clip, he talked about people who were married. And he said people who've been married a long time, he sees them in a restaurant, and they're just sitting there, and they're not talking. And he says what he wants to do is he wants to go and give them a gun and say, you can either shoot the other person or you can shoot yourself to get out of the situation you're in. I don't recommend that, but you know what Bill Maher doesn't understand? He doesn't understand intimacy. Joyce and I can go to a restaurant and sit there and not say much to each other, but you know what's really freeing is you don't have to. You don't have to be talking all the time. I love my relationship with my wife. There's an intimacy there that when you're newly married, you don't understand. And anybody under 35 years of being married is newly married in my book. So, but there's an intimacy in marriage that we can have with God the same way. It's absolutely incredible, the relationship that we can have with God. Marriage is not boring, even if you sit there and you don't say much to each other. You know what Joyce and I, I'm talking about myself a lot, I apologize for that. But you know what Joyce and I talk about now? Well, in all honesty, for the last few months we've been talking about moving and making plans and stuff. But, you know, we each do our devotions, and then we get together, and it's not planned that we're going to talk about our devotions. But the Joyce starts by telling me what she's discovered, and I read to her a couple of the verses that have meant an awful lot to me, and then we share ideas. You see, God is the main thing in our lives. And when God is the main thing in our lives, I know you guys that are working, you can't spend that amount of time and stuff. But when God is the main thing in your life, it develops an intimacy that Susie was describing, that you can live in that intimacy with God. You can trust Him with your circumstances. Why? Because you know that God's got your back. Even if it doesn't seem like anything is going to work out, you know that God has got your back, and you can trust in Him. And let me tell you, that is freeing. And let me tell you that this is a place of joy and peace when you actually do believe that God is looking after you and you can completely trust and rely on Him. What a great place to be. If you haven't experienced what I'm talking about this morning, I just want you to know that the kingdom of God, God Himself, is available to you today. Life can be about much more than we think it is. You know, Jesus, in Luke 5:16, it reveals something about Jesus. It said He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Why do you think He did that? I think He prayed about His ministry. I think He prayed for people's hearts. He prayed for life on this earth. But you know what I think? I think Jesus got alone with God so much because that was His favorite place to be. Jesus would go into the mountains, into the desert, it says actually. Jesus would go into the desert and be by Himself and pray. And let me tell you, when you start to experience this, this is the best place to be. This is absolutely the best place for us to be. And this is not a quick thing. This is not just me preaching a message and then you go home and everything's changed. But if I can point you in this direction, it's been a 7-year journey for me, in all honesty, to make this my focus. And I'm just starting to understand what I'm talking to you about. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was praying with Joyce, and the Holy Spirit whispered into my heart, "Chuck, you're not an orphan." Well, I knew that. You know, I've preached sermons on it. Of course, I'm an expert in this. That's sarcasm, by the way. But you know what I've discovered? Do you know, in all honesty, what I've discovered is, yeah, I'm not an orphan. So much in my younger life, I felt like I was always going against the current in life. So often it seems like I'm in this alone, and I know it's not the case, but God just spoke to my heart and said, "Chuck, you're not an orphan." And you know what? I'm not. I'm not, because God is always there with me. It's not just knowing about that I'm a Christian and I'm in the family of God. No, it's so much deeper than that. It's knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us. It's absolutely knowing that He's always there for us. It's absolutely understanding that we can completely trust and rely on God in every circumstance, that we can just find out that there's more of God. I like what your pastor says. He always says, or when I've been here, I think 4 times, and listen to him talk. He talks about how God has more for us. This is part of the more. This is part of the more for us to understand as Christians what's there and what's available to us. It's just so, so amazing. We're not orphans. We're not in this alone. And yes, we have other people, but that's secondary to having God. More than just giving your heart to Christ, more than just being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are those things important? Absolutely they are. But this is intimacy with God, having your faith grow, trusting in Him like you never have before. This is so important. So my challenge to you this morning is start thinking about God and life above the line, heaven's kingdom realm. Start thinking what life in His kingdom is really about, and let Him change your heart and ask Him to, and see how it leads to more intimacy with God than you can ever imagine. This is not a how-to sermon. This is, I want your eyes to be open to what's available to you if you start focusing on the kingdom of God and God Himself, of course. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank You so much that You're here with us this morning. I thank You so much that You care about each person here, that You love each person, that each person is special to You. You're so awesome, Lord. And Father, I ask in the next few moments that You would help us to examine where our heart's really at, what our focus in life really is about. Is our focus You and Your kingdom, or is our focus on the circumstances of this world? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you would say, in all honesty, Chuck, my focus has been more on my circumstances than it has been God? If that's you this morning, just slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. Yeah, I see those hands. Father, I pray that You would take us all on a deeper journey with You, that we would experience You, that we would experience more of You. Thank You and praise You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before... Susie, do you want to close the meeting, or am I supposed to close it? Or I'm supposed to close it, okay. Just before I let you all out, I have one more thought that I'd like to bring to you. Do you know how special each one of you are? You know, I was talking a bit about my relationship with God, and I know that God has more. For each one of you. But you know, I was raised in a good home. I had one brother and four sisters, so I've spent most of my life with women. But how many of you pity me? How to wreck a moment, yeah. But you know, I never thought my mom and dad had any favorites, and I don't believe they did. Although I can't understand why I wouldn't have been the favorite, but But Mom and Dad didn't have any favorites. And I saw that Dad and Mom had a different relationship with each one of their children. And I have four girls. And I have a different relationship with each one of my girls. So I want you to know that God has a different intimate relationship with you than he does with anybody else. Because God doesn't have favorites. Each one of you are really very special. He loves you, and he sees you in a totally different way. See, when you start to see that, I'm early, so bear with me. I was done. But when you start to see that, can I get weird with you for a moment? You know, we drove here on Friday, drove from Red Deer to Brooks, and it's just such a beautiful spring day. The sky and the clouds. And you know what I've come to believe? I've come to believe that when God created the world, he thought, I'm going to make this day for Chuck. I'm going to make this day for Chuck. And I know he's going to see this, and he's going to praise me. And basically all the way from Red Deer to Brooks, you know, yeah, the ground looks brown, but you know what? New life is springing up. And there's beauty. There's beauty in a beautiful day like that. You know, riding on my motorcycle around some of the ponds around the Stettler area, and they're kind of green. And when there's absolutely no waves and no wind, you know, you see the reflection of the sky and everything. It's just like a mirror. You know what? God made that just for me. But not just for me, for you as well. But start to take things personally. And you know, you may think logically the next step is, well, what about terrible weather? But you know, there's real beauty in storms too. And there's something about being out for a walk. I don't do it a lot, so listen to what I'm saying more than what I do. But when you're out for a walk and it's storming and it's 30 below and the wind is blowing, you know, there's something exhilarating about being dressed up really warm and walking in that kind of... See that God has made those things, and don't see that God has made them for everyone. See that type of stuff as if that God has made that especially for you. I know instantly our mind goes to, well, you know what? God did it for everyone. Yes, but we make a mistake when we start to see things from everyone's point of view. You have a special relationship with God that is deeper and more meaningful and more intimate than anything you can imagine. I want to come pick on you, Dallas, but I won't. God made today, when he created the world, he's big enough that he had you in mind today. You're that special to him. A lot of people I don't know here. But start to see things this way. Start to see things this way, and it will change. It will change the intimacy that you have with God, and it will bring you new life, and circumstances won't bother you as much. There is an intimacy that we can have with God that we can't even explain, and I'm 67 years old and I'm just starting to tap into this. Joyce and I walk, and I tell her quite often as we're talking about stuff, I say, I'm far too old to just be discovering this stuff now. Don't wait. But God has this, especially, has a relationship. This church, I'm so excited to be moving back here, because what's going to happen in this church and what's going to happen in people's lives? Like, it's just absolutely amazing what God has. So, Father, I pray for each person that came this morning. I pray, Father, that you would minister life to them, that you would open their eyes like you opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha, that he could see what really was going on, the chariots of fire. Father, may we truly understand that you're with us, that we're not orphans, that we're not left here alone. But Father, I thank you that we can see, we can find out that you've got our backs in every situation, that we can, oh Lord, words don't describe what I'm trying to say. Father, bless. Bless this congregation, and may it increase and may it grow. And Father, may many, many, many people find what real life with you is about in this congregation. I thank you so much for Pastor Aaron and the messages that he preached. And Father, I thank you for calling us to be in this area, for we can be part of this church again. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.